This is the Joe Schaan Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93. Brought to you by Dr. Daniel Reminga of the Northern Foot Care Center, State Farm agent Kelly Jepson, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store, the Kaliva Cafe, Peterlin Distributing, Joey's Seafood and Grill, and the Turbo Agency. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schaan, here is your host, Dirk Hembraugh.
All right, thank you very much, and we are excited to talk about Michigan Tech hockey for the next 60 minutes, and you have the chance as the listener, as the Huskies hockey fan, to ask Coach a question. Well, actually, I'll ask it for you, but you need to email it in to me, dj@themix93.com. I already have some questions banked up in our email, and we'll do that a little bit later on in the show. But feel free to send those emails in. The Huskies coming off a couple of tough non-conference losses at Clarkson this past week and a grueling road trip for Michigan Tech to finish off 8 straight games on the road. And Coach Joe Schaan is with us. And Coach, welcome back to the studio. Good morning to you.
Thanks, Dirk. I think this is going to be a fun show today.
Well, I think so, too.
It's going to be a great show.
It was a bummer. And just one of those series, Coach, where the series got done, and I was like, hard to put a finger on exactly what didn't happen for us as far as not winning the games and everything, but because we played hard both games. Everybody worked.
We played well. We played more than hard. We played well. It was two really good hockey games, excellent hockey games, played well by both teams. There wasn't a ton of slop. They were close checking. They were transitional, and there were some key factors in the game, I think, that switched it both ways. Things that we can do better, for sure. But as far as the effort, the execution of our guys, the attention to detail, it's hard to ask a lot more. We in every indicator. Statistically, we had a great lively coach's corner this morning with Luke or Gary Kruzic stopped by, Augie's there, and Joel Isaacson stopped by, and it was a really good conversation because Luke feels the same way, and it's really good to talk these things out and to have people to bounce stuff off of, because I honestly felt our guys played, and I think you probably alluded to it as well on the air. Our guys played well. They scored. We could have easily come out of both those games with shutouts easily. Not that our goaltending wasn't good, but we could have not given up. We could have won 2-1-0 games and really could have won a couple of 3-0 games with scoring chances that we generated. We didn't get a lot of second chances, but we got a lot of great looks at the goal. If you look at temp charts, shot charts, everything, battle situations, everything, we played well. We were involved. We were engaged. We didn't win hockey games.
But penalty kill only gave up one goal all weekend long. That certainly was an improvement than what we've been seeing.
It was great. And we didn't give up shots. We didn't give up a ton of attempts, nothing close in. The goal they got was the first one on Saturday night on the power play. It was a little give and go, a pass from the half wall down to the goal line, back to the half wall, and he took the shot from the perimeter. It was a well-placed shot, no screen or anything, and it went in the net. And other than that, we didn't give them up. And they're going to get that shot. Just like last week we said on the goal that Ferris got, first or second goal, that one-time opportunity from along the boards on the outside, they're going to get shots. You're trying to give your goalie the best chance, a good look at it from a bad angle, which happens. And they were able to put that in. I won't even say the difference in the weekend. The games are so similar in so many ways in that we play well, we go behind. We continue to play well, we battle back. We tie it in the second with not just a chance opportunity, but against Duluth, if you remember, chance opportunity in the second, we tie it, but they're dominating us. We have control in many ways of the game. We tie it, we finally generate one off a face-off play. Luch walks in the slot and right down the middle and buries it, and then we're 1-1, and then just like that, just like Friday night, just a goal that you're looking at each other, you're really not even paying a ton of attention down at the other end of the rink, and it's in the net. It's like, what the heck happened? Is that a goal? And you're wondering how it happened because you're in complete control of the situation, even in your own zone, and it's in your net. And then all of a sudden, you're battling back again. You're trying, and in both games, even though we pressured, we weren't able to put that puck in the net. Our power play was effective in movement. but not in execution, not in getting the puck in the net. But boy, did we get some opportunities on the last few power plays. And if we would have got one in the third, I was looking forward to seeing that opportunity as well.
Yeah, they were. I mean, they were really fun games to watch. There was a good pace on in the ice. There was. Like you said, good puck movement by the Huskies, but just as far as putting it in the net, and a lot had to do with Kylie. Great goaltender, big goaltender.
He's a great goaltender. Yeah, I believe he's an All-American last year. I'm not 100% on that, but he was close to it. He was certainly all-league in the ECAC. He's a goalie from Tri-City. He was the top goaltender in the USHL when he played there. They won the championship. And their game is to let him stop the puck, much as ours was with Jamie Phillips. Let him stop the puck. Don't give him anything around him. Don't give him second chances. They tie up. They box out. They bring forwards back into the slot. They outnumber you in front of their net. You have to get in and out of there. You have to fight for a body position. You have to push off checks and off of coverage to get free for that split second, time your rebound opportunities. We didn't get those. Their goalie made the saves. Both goals we got were great shots. One right down the slot. One, Ray Bryce came in and Keeley cheated far side. I thought that Ray was going to shoot far side. He made a great shot, short side in game one of the series. So I would say, all in all, I don't think it's argumentative that he was the difference in the series for sure.
Well, let's take a look at Friday night's game. It was Clarkson taking the lead early in the first period, a scramble kind of in front of Jarusik. And let's take a listen to it, and Coach can give us his thoughts on it.
Pass to the front of the goal. Late man coming in, and he can't take the shot. Oh, Cooper had a chance there. Here's another shot saved by Jarusik. Rebound! Scores! Jacome put the rebound in. He was tied up as well as he could, and he just outworked the Husky defense and was able to battle at home. Good work by the Golden Knights deep inside the Michigan Tech end.
They really had a good press on there, and our guys were kind of doing everything they could, it seemed like, to cover everybody that they could in front of that net.
Well, we were with them. That was Colin Sawyer. It's a freshman, skilled defenseman. You see guys, you watch the Red Wings, Green makes the same mistake. You don't like it. I'm sure it drives Blash crazy. But they make the same mistakes. I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking about Colin Sawyer, and I'm thinking how so many people. I mean, I have a lot of friends over in the Sioux that just did not like Nick Lidstrom for the majority of his career. It'd be interesting to where they were at the end of his career, but they just didn't like him. And a skill guy that constantly led the league in plus minus. That quietly did it just cerebrally. Is that right? But Colin is an offensive type defenseman that gives up things defensively because he doesn't pay attention to detail in the defensive zone, and we have to continue to work with him on that. It's obviously been a trend of his through his whole career. He was right with his player, just not tight on him, just backed off him to some degree as far as being with him, but not tying him up. If he ties him up like Clarkson defenders tied us up, they don't get a sniff at that. Our forward comes, picks up that loose puck in the front of the net, and we transition the other way. Colin standing with him, their guy bats it in, and they get that goal. It was a block shot in front that bounced out that way, which we did a good job this week in a blocking shot, especially on the penalty kill. Cooper Watts and all those guys and our forwards did a great job of that. That's something Colin's going to have to continue to work on to get better. It's something that happens. NHL guys do that don't take accountability to their coverage in front, and it's our job to keep working with him on that.
So that was 1-0 against Jack Jacome with the goal. Sherazin and Tho get the assist. 3:19 the time of the goal. No other scoring in that first period, and the shots in first period, Michigan Tech 8 and Clarkson 1. We go to the second period. Early on in the second period, the goal that Coach talked about, Ray Bryce.
Nice steal by Misiak, and he'll be able to skate it up the center ice and across the line. Hands it off for Bryce. Bryce is there. Scores! Ray Bryce with a great goal! Short side, and the Huskies have tied it up 1-1 here in the second period.
Great play by Misiak to lead in on that play, on that rush for Ray Bryce.
Yeah, good cross pattern on tight gaps. Clarkson is much like our defense, and I thought our defensemen played tremendous on the weekend. Their gaps were tight. We didn't give them rush opportunity. We didn't give them odd rush opportunity. Clarkson the same way, was tight gapped. We had to be creative on zone entry. It was a great cross pattern. Ray followed it up and was able to get the play on the cross pattern and walk in and get a good look at the net and made a good shot on it. And, you know, the irony of it is the details that you get out of guys that are battling so hard, such as Ray, to get into the lineup and to do it. And that was a lot of the talk we had today in the coach's corner, which is great talk, is how do you get into other guys that feel solidified into the lineup and hold them accountable without getting into their soul on their performance, because they're trying hard. They're trying and they're not executing. How do you get into them and hold them accountable? Do you sit guys out? Do you sit them out, which we do, and sit guys out in shifts and things like that, and hold them to the same standard on their attention to detail when they're not performing to the degree of guys that go in? You look at Blanco's in this weekend, makes a great play on that goal by Lucchini. You look at Poglis, goes in, is working his tail off, and he's doing a great job for us on the penalty kill, and is taking over a spot to the point where it's going to be difficult to take him out, and you don't look to take him out. You look for somebody else who's not performing so you can keep him in, things like that. That urgency, if anything, and that's the kind of the talk we had this morning, that urgency has to come out of everybody. That accountability has to come out of everybody. And as a coach, you have to do that without getting into their soul, into their talent. You have to get into it where it's a, you're challenging their attention to detail, their commitment to the group, versus getting into their ability, like say missing the net all the time. And that was a lot of the talk today, because we missed the net.
We did miss it a lot.
And those are painful. You create great scoring chances. We had D walk in, Donnie who walks in, misses the net, another guy's, and you wanna, you know, you're getting into their skill level. How do you hold them accountable for that? But the other side of it, you get guys like Ray who are challenged on skill level at times and things like that, but are executing so well and making things happen that, you know, that's the line that you walk as a coach. You know, at some point it comes in, like at Bowling Green a year ago, at some point it just comes in and you just say, I'm going to play the most competitive guys, live or die with them, and we're going to be happy with that.
Let's go to the so that was a tying goal at the time for Michigan Tech. Raymond Bryce, his second of the season. Justin Misiak gets the only assist as he was able to get the steal. That came at the 3:56 mark of the second period. And then a goal not long after that, 6:22. It was Harold Eagle, who played well, I thought, all week, and he's a pretty good player. Nico Sturm, the guy that we heard about coming in, obviously the German native who was good, set up this play that came from behind the net. We'll let Coach talk about it.
Clarkson bringing it across the Michigan Tech line. Thau couldn't quite get the pass off. Watch out, here comes Sturm in behind the Husky goal. And sealing him right off was Keelan, and right to the goal, and they score! The Huskies lost sight of where the puck was, including Jerusik. And the Huskies give up one here in the second period. They trail 2-0, or 2-1.
So as we hear in that, Coach, we hear Keelan and pretty much took Sturm.
Did his job.
Separated, right out of the game. Right out
of
the play.
Separated him. Did a great job. And recovered. He was caught up ice on a offensive zone play. He was deep in the offensive zone. Got back. Todd's got tremendous work ethic. Outstanding character. Got back. Engaged in the battle with big Nico Sturm, separated him, forced a loose puck behind the net. There's a lot of room behind the net. And we got caught in what you're going to get caught in. We got caught in this was in traits. Cooper Watson in position there. He's a guy that doesn't love the puck on his stick. He's a defender first, but the puck came to him. He had an opportunity. He poked it away. Instead of gathering it in, now a guy like Colin Sawyer will gather that in and take off with it. Cooper pokes it away to the other side of the net, and Smitty, who struggles a bit at times in defensive zone coverage, is over kind of watching the play behind and hoping, both of them said they were hoping that Jerusik would cover that puck, but he couldn't cover the puck because he was kind of tangled up with Smitty, who was standing off that side of the net. And the puck goes, when Coop poked it away, went to the other side of the net to a guy that was standing there, and he, from the goal line, just reached out front and tucked it into the open net on the other side. A nothing play, a nothing goal. We did everything right. We had the bodies there. We outnumbered him, and it was an execution thing, and we need to get a little bit more out of that in execution. And I found this. You're always going to get caught at times with the things that you work on with guys that they just, you know, that you just got to keep telling them and keep working with them on, you know, you're accepting the good things, but they got to work on the things that they need to get better at. And we got caught on this one. And again, a nothing goal in a nothing situation that ended up being the winning goal.
And that was the winning goal. That came in the second period at the 6:22 mark. The only other goal came with the empty net, as you mentioned, at the 19:44 mark, as Grant Cooper put in the empty net once Jerusik was pulled. Shots in the second period, even up 10-10. We outshoot them 9-5 in the third period. Just, I mean, in that first, again, we talked about it before Saturday night's game, but that first 3 minutes of the third period was, I don't know that Clarkson had the puck on their stick. You guys had two phenomenal shifts out there where it was just, it looked like a power play, just bang, 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 bang.
And beating them to pucks, good second man on the puck and things like that. And we got some looks at the net and didn't hit the net on those opportunities. But all in all, played a good third. And again, what you have to do in you have to be more opportunistic and not stand around in the slot area. But again, you look at it, we got our attempts in there. You know, goalie made the save. We didn't get our second chance opportunities, but we were able to penetrate both nights and get into those areas. And the attempt charts and things, every indicator and everything, battles on out, every indicator is that we played well. And we have to have a better outcome. Maybe it has to matter a little bit more. Maybe we have to coach a little bit better. But our guys performed. And you know, the last thing I'm going to do today, you know, we're not going to be happy with it, and that's the message. And we have to find creative ways to do things better. But we have to continue to grow. But we went into the 18th ranked team in the country and played a heck of a hockey game. Not happy with the result. People have to individually, and we all have to collectively, not accept that, but we certainly don't want to force guys into panic situations when we're playing overall game after game after game good hockey. We're not going to turn this thing the other way because we're gonna mentally beat guys up. We're gonna continue to work better so that we can get to the point where everybody's growing and we can make our decisions based on their performance versus us taking them out of their ability to develop by beating them up mentally.
Get to Saturday night's game. We are recapping the Clarkson weekend. Hard to believe, Coach, we only have two more non-conference games left in our regular season schedule. It's you know, they're almost done.
Yeah, non-conference hasn't been good for us either, although we've had some good performances. The first game against Duluth, certainly that was a game that we should have won. Obviously not the second game, but the first game we should have won. We played a great game the first game against Wisconsin with a very average game the second game against Wisconsin, and then these two games I thought we played well. So what I'm most concerned about what I have to be concerned about is our overall team. A year ago at this time, we were challenging everybody. Mm-hmm. We were challenging compete level. We were challenging guys that we thought never, that I felt never really were in a primary driving role of any part of the team, as far as performance, to be those guys that were now, that were filling in, taking place, not relying on Shane Hanna, not relying on Matt Roy, not relying on those other guys, not relying on, all Alex Patan. Like, now this is your team. This is your time to go to the point. And they took over. They did. They had a great run for us. They accepted that responsibility. We're past that. We're at the stage now where we have guys performing. We have guys right through the lineup. The freshmen are pushing the upper class. We have some tremendous freshmen. We have some excellent character in the upper class guys. Our performance is consistently good. We need more execution. We probably could use more compete from some of our, we certainly could use more compete from some of our skill guys. I think it's important to me, and again, I'm excited about this show today, because I knew we were going to get into the nooks and crannies. People are going to want, okay, what's going on with this team? And I like the group a lot. I like it a ton. If anything, you want your upper class skill, or your skill in general to be as complete a hockey players as they can be. They will impact the game, because if not, the work ethic guys will take over and they'll win hockey games and they'll beat you. Teams with great work ethic will beat you if your skill doesn't compete. And that's really, I think, where we're at right now is that there's a formula that I work off of, that's worked for me over years of experience. And that formula is that I don't want more than two max guys in the lineup that you're willing to look over some of their defensive deficiencies. Two guys max that you're willing to put up with, because they're going to create, like Alex Patan, he was a player of the year. He was often a defensive liability. I mean, we didn't penalty kill him. We didn't use him a lot late in games when we had leads and things. But he got 10, 12 scoring chances for you a night. He was driven to get that puck into critical areas, to get shots on goal, to create offense. So you worked with him all the time on it. But that's probably why he's playing overseas right now and he's not playing in the American Hockey League, is that no matter how hard we sold that to him, he never completely bought into that aspect of the game, and so now he's making good money overseas, but his chance of playing in the National Hockey League is gone. Some of our guys right now we have some skill guys that are playing skill roles that aren't generating the offense right now that you need them to do. So there is a soft element to some of our lineup at the upper end in the skill side of it that we're going to have to make some hard decisions on. If they're not contributing offensively, if they're not making our power play, like you get a power play goal in each of those games. Now it's a tie game, and you come out with maybe a different result, or maybe get two power play goals. We had six chances each night. But when we go into, like, we got good. Our power plays in the second half Saturday night were good. They clicked it. They moved it around. They attacked. They retrieved. And basically all we did with them is said, we want scoring chances. If you're not going to get a scoring chance, like we had Lucchini's power play unit out for one, maybe in the first period, and they went 30 seconds without even trying a chance on goal. So from that point on, I went with the other unit to start the power plays and said, your job is to get right off that faceoff, get a shot on goal, retrieve it, and then go from there. Well, that gets the message across to the other guys. Okay, we're doing this a little bit differently. And during the week, we told them, you're going to get pressure. This fancy perimeter stuff isn't going to work against these guys. It's going to be puck movement that's going to work. It's going to be release plays that are going to work. And when you get guys caught chasing you, that puck has to move to a different area, and you have to attack and get numbers inside of their outside force. We got better at that. We had some great looks at the net. We missed some great scoring opportunities on the power play. But that's the element right now that I think we're going to have to deal with, is that I don't want more than two, and two is high for me, of guys that just aren't going to give you that Ray Bryce effort, the effort that we're getting from Bertschman, the effort we're getting from those other guys to give you that effort, Poglace's effort. If you're not contributing offensively, there comes a time when you have to say, you know, the entitlement's gone here, regardless of what you've done in the past is gone. You know, we're going with the work ethic here. Our freshmen are growing. They're getting scoring chances. We're going to have to go in that direction.
All right. Well, Saturday night's game was very similar as far as the scoring pattern, but it was on the power play that Clarkson scored their first goal on Saturday night.
Control by Clarkson inside the Michigan Tech zone. Foe up top. Hands it off. Eagle to the left side. Pass down low. Here is Eagle with a shot. B. Carroll short side. And a power play goal for the Clarkson Golden Knights with 8:17 left to go in the first period.
Actually, was not Eagle. Eagle got the assist on the goal. So did Nico Sturm. Morrow, the big defenseman, was able to get the goal on the power play, and that came at the 11:43 mark. As you said, Coach, on that goal, that's the kind of shot you want to give up.
Well, there's even more to that. We have our defenseman blocked far side on those angle shots, so that the goaltender can get a good look, and he really has to worry about short side. And that's what happened on that play, and he was beat short side. So they're gonna get something on the power play. We're certainly not gonna chase a guy out in that area. Like, they went goal line. We collapsed into coverage at our net. They give it back to the guy, outside on the half wall there. And we're not gonna go chase him out there and give inside opportunities, in that support ice. That's the shot they're gonna get. And it wasn't a side-to-side shot. It's a direct shot. It just was a shot that just beat our goaltender.
All right, so it's 1-0 on that power play goal for Clarkson. That's the score after the first period. Shots in the first period, Michigan Tech 7, and Clarkson 6. We go to the second period, and once again, the Huskies, just like the night before, come back and tie the game up.
On the right face-off dot. He's trying to get something going offensively. Shots are 7-7 right now. Here's a chance for Lucchini. Walks in, a score! Right off of the faceoff. Dylan Stamen wins it back, and Lucchini was not even challenged. He walked right down the middle of the slot and beats goaltender Kylie Fivehole. It's a 1-1 score.
I just, help me out on this one, Coach. I just thought it was great, but bizarre. Was that kind of Clarkson's defense? In a situation where it was like, I got it, you take it, because it seemed like nobody challenged Lucchini that whole middle lane going down there.
Well, Blount made that play,
okay.
And they were complaining about interference on it, but Blount fought for inside position, and so by our aggressiveness fighting for inside position to get help on those faceoffs, they were racing towards that area as well, and Stamen won the draw clean, which now made coverage. Their coverage was inside of our. Forwards, inside of our pick.
Sure.
And it wasn't really a pick, but it was inside of that. So now they can't get back out and get outside of that and into the good ice, into the middle of the ice. So they're all by the dot. and then Luch was able to walk right down and get that shot on goal. So that was just set up previously by how hard our guys were going in fighting for those 50-50 pucks at the faceoff circles.
I mean, you talk about key faceoff draws. There you go, right there. A big faceoff win that turns into a goal.
Yeah, everything that you do, our evaluation of the game stems out from scoring chances, plus and minus. Who's involved in scoring chances for, who's involved in scoring chances against, and a lot of my evaluation goes off of that because so much leads into that. Battles won go into possession. Face-offs go into possession. Forced turnovers go into possession. Turning the puck over loses possession. They all ultimately create scoring opportunities. I'm more a scoring chance guy than a plus-minus guy because there's a lot of guys that can... I mean, if you're on the ice with Mario Lemieux all the time and Jaromir Jagr, you're going to get a heck of a lot of pluses. And regardless of whether you contribute to it or not, you're going to get a lot of pluses. But the real driver, the real influence is how much do you contribute to that. I believe Warren Young played with them, didn't he, for a while, and was like a 50-goal guy or close to that, a former Michigan Tech guy, because he played with those guys and was a big, strong guy that had a good stick and could make a play and got those guys the puck, and then or he'd get in a position to score a goal. And, you know, it ended up being a big contract for him in Detroit off of that. But a driver is who you're playing with, and he contributed to those guys' success. So Detroit tried to get him to contribute to some guys' success as well and gave him a nice contract. Conversely, if everything's coming off of Jagr and Lemieux, and the guy with him's not involved in it, then you might have to make some changes and try to find a guy who is more, because you're going to get that much more productivity if you can find the right guy to play with them.
I believe Lucchini, with that goal, leading the league, or not with that goal, but is right up there, too, on the tops as far as conference goals and points. He's just playing so well right now, and a great play by Dylan Stamen, Lucchini, and as you mentioned, Ballant out there, too. So we go to the... We tie it up in the second period again. Only 35 seconds later, this is the goal that you also talked a little bit about earlier today. They tie it up.
Yoki Haru will set it deep inside the Michigan Tech zone, in behind Devin Carroll's net. Here's a chance, a shot! Carroll doesn't know where it is! It went in! Devin says no. And yeah, it went across the line, and the referee says right away, I'm sure they're going to look at this.
Well, they did look at it, and they did say that it crossed the line.
It did. It did. I saw the overhead of it. It went across the line. So that one's a heartbreaker for sure, because, not devastating, but, you know, you're working so hard, you're playing so well. And again, a nothing goal. It was just kind of, they dumped the puck in. I don't even know what happened completely. You can't see it well from the replay. Somehow it just got towards the net and surprised Devin, snuck under his pad and snuck inside the post. And I don't know if it went outside his skate or if he just didn't get down in time. I'm not sure what happened, but it wasn't, you know, it was just a fluky type of a goal. It's very similar to the second goal on, like I said, on Friday night where you're like, what just happened? You know what I mean? You're trying to figure the whole thing out but it was it ended up being the winning goal.
So we that gives them the lead 2-1. That ended up being the winning goal, as you mentioned. And shots in the second period, 14-10 in favor of Michigan Tech. I don't think we got outshot the whole game until the third period on Saturday night. They outshot us 9-5. We're down by a goal, and still a lot of time left. And it just felt like we were going to get the tying goal. And then, as you mentioned, after the game, a little bit of a mishap as far as guys changing, and they get an opportunity on the breakaway with the empty net and the goaltender play.
Extra attacker on the ice. Huskies down there. Pass up, and this is going to be the end of the game. Breakaway score. 49 seconds left. Another empty net goal in the last minute of play. Second night in a row. And the Huskies don't get another sniff at it to tie the game up. They trail 3-1.
So what happened on that, Coach?
Well, we set up after the second period what we wanted. We talked to the guys of what we wanted with the goalie out. Told the guys that we wanted on the ice and how we wanted to go about it. And there was some talk on how we wanted to handle the defenseman explicitly. I talked directly to them on how we wanted to handle the defenseman. For whatever reason, the defenseman changed. That's not what we called for. We wanted them to, if anything, to bite the hole, to play the hole goalie out if they could get through it. And we adjusted it so we only had about a minute and whatever, minute 20 maybe left on the clock when we got the goalie out. So we should have been able to get a good portion of that, if not all of it, out of the D because we were in the offensive zone with possession of the puck. And for whatever reason, one came off quickly. And then the other came off shortly after that. And that was disappointing because we had been clear on what we wanted to happen on that situation. We wanted those two particular guys on the ice, to be able to create a lefty and a righty to be able to handle what we were going to do with the goaltender out. And that one was disappointing because neither of them wanted to assertively take that. And why they changed. Talked a little bit about it. One had no clue, so didn't really pay much attention to it. And the other one said knew what we were trying to do, but just thought it was best to get the other defenseman, the other left-handed defenseman we had on the ice. So that one right there was disappointing. But more importantly, we couldn't afford that because we were struggling at times with their big defenseman. They had two huge D on the ice, a 6'7 guy and another 6'5 guy. And we were having trouble winning those battles. And as soon as we gave them an opportunity to chip a puck to the half wall, well, then it was over. We had a D coming off out of the offensive zone. I could see more change if we were coming back. They dumped the puck down. We were going to get it, and one guy came off. But not changing out of the offensive zone with the goalie out, that's just awareness, and that's not very acceptable.
Nico Sturm gets the goal, empty net goal, 3-1 final both nights, as both nights ended with an empty net goal in the last minute of play for Clarkson. Final shots on goal, it was Michigan Tech with 26-25 for Clarkson, and the Huskies suffer the two losses on the road. We'll take a break. We've got a lot more coming your way, including your questions. Any questions out there? Email them to me, dj@themix93.com. The Joe Schaan Hour continues after these.
The Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, your one-stop shops for all things authentically Michigan Tech. Our stores offer fresh and sporty Michigan Tech apparel, souvenirs, and unique gift options. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu. Email campusstore@mtu.edu to join Husky Deals and be the first to know about our sales, promotions, and new offerings. Your support goes directly back to the local and campus communities. Warning, shopping the University Images in the Campus Store may cause smiles, happiness, elation, customer satisfaction, and or accolades from friends and family.
Hello, business owners. This is Mike Mikola
and Jeff Mickish from the Turvo Agency. Do you wish your business insurance plan was simple and easy to understand?
With our team's more than 50 years of combined experience in the insurance business, we have developed ways to simplify the process for you.
Stop in to see us at 230 Quincy Street in downtown Hancock, or give us a call at 482-0080 to set up an appointment.
Turvo, insurance simplified.
At Michelob Ultra, we know it's not just about how much you work out every day. It's about how much you work into every day, too. So we brew our beer for those who realize that expending calories should never come at the expense of spending time with friends. Those who understand that just because you work out doesn't mean you can't go out. And that's why we brew Michelob Ultra to have 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, and a crisp, clean taste. Michelob Ultra, brewed for those who live fit, live fun, live ultra. Enjoy responsibly. 2018 Michelob Ultra Light Beer and has a voice in St. Louis, Missouri. 95 calories, 2.6 carbs, 0.6 grams of protein, and 0 grams of fat for 12 ounces.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
If your saving for retirement strategy involves the phrase, "I'll get around to it someday," we need to talk. Hi, I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson. When it comes to meeting your goals, time can be on your side. And there's no better time than now to get started toward your retirement goals. Stop by our office in the Sharon Center in Houghton or call 906-482-8680. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Well, let's get to a couple of questions here for you, Coach, as the Joe Schaan Hour continuing here on Mix 93 WKMJ. This is totally not hockey-related, but this is actually a question that came in a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't think it was the right time to ask you this. But here's the question. What's your favorite Christmas movie? And have you been watching any Christmas movies yet?
Yeah. You know, my I mean, obviously, I like the Grinches and things like that, but from when I was a kid. But I think my favorite one is actually a Santa Claus one where a guy has to go find a bride. To be honest with you, I think that's the one that, because I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago I watched it one time, probably with Laura. And but that's one I enjoy watching. But more than that, I guess Miracle on 34th Street is probably my best of all time.
All right, here's a question. A little background on this one here first, Coach. This listener and former manager of Michigan Tech Hockey said, I was struck when Dirk interviewed Brian Hallinan last weekend. He was too polite to say that Grayson Reitmeier's pass to him was a lousy one to one time, and Grayson, who was nearby, laughed and said it was fine to criticize the pass. It made this listener wonder, even from a far removed position as a fan, it seems like you have some wonderful young men on your team, and it seems like they come from a wide variety of backgrounds, U.S.-born, Canadian, urban, rural, wealthy, not so wealthy. As a coach, how gratifying is it to watch players who hail from very different family and life circumstances to come together as a team?
Well, that's the part I'm really enjoying about this group tremendously. I like these guys a ton. The work ethic is good. The energy is positive. They have good excitement. They're attentive to detail. I mean, we have a good hockey team. I don't know how far we can take it, but every single challenge that we address, like, look at the play of our D right now. We went in and limited Clarkson to very little. I mean, it was all in all pretty easy goaltending for our goalies. You know, they gave up two goals each night, which obviously is fine. You want to get three in the game, but those could have been shutouts. Our D are up and gapping. Every weakness that we had, they're getting better and better and better at, and continuing to get better and continue to work at it. Like, we even talked about Coop on that one play where he, by nature, gets the puck off his stick in the D zone. He doesn't want to gather it in. He wants to get it away. He'll do his defending, but someone else do the job of getting it out. He's working his tail off at that. You know, I like our freshmen. We talk all the time. Brian Hallinan's, one guy they mentioned. I don't even know if I can say this, but we've had a ton of, I don't even know if I should say this, but I'm going to. We have a ton of, apostolic Lutheran players we've had over the year, Pietilas, and we have more coming in. And they bring a great flavor. We're so fortunate to have that niche, because they bring a really good leveling flavor to our group. You don't have to worry about how they're going to handle themselves. And the higher the role that they have on the team, the more assertive the role is. I mean, when you have Blake Pietila being your captain, in the way that he's going to live his lifestyle for the, there's certainly a stubbornness at times, but how they live and how they bring it and their expectations of themselves, Todd Killinan, high compete level, complete honesty, no fear, and then you mix that in with some really good recruiting on some really good kids. We have a great thing here. We have a good group of guys that, our limiting factor to this year and how far we can take it's going to be our creativity we can get on the back end, our guys on the back end being able to assertively generate offense for us. I think they're doing a good job at it. Tyler Rockwell's playing tremendous. His Corsi number, which is your opportunities created when you're on the ice versus when you're off the ice, is always good. Whoever he plays with is good. His puck touches are excellent. His poise is good. We have him back there. Colin Sawyer can do some things back there. I think we have a good mix. We certainly have to get better at that. We have to recruit a couple guys for sure for next year, I think, that give us more challenge back there, because right now we're limited by some injuries. When Goats gets back in, he was probably our top D when he got hurt. When he gets back in, that's going to give us that much more. He's going to have to catch up to the other guys defensively on their gapping and things, but we didn't give up squat this weekend as far as no sustained pressure. I mean, our guys did an absolutely tremendous job. That D core, our forwards are energetic. They're aggressive. They learn well. So, again, the biggest thing right now we got to get, Gould completely bought in. We have to get Smitty more engaged, as far as more energy and around the puck like the other guys. We have to get more out of Grayson Reitmeier. So it's some of those guys that have been here We're getting a lot out of Hallinan, a lot out of Broachman. Those other guys that have some talent have to show, and every indicator for us is that it's on compete level. It's on getting around the puck, and it's on getting it on their stick and being strong on the puck. Because when you get a Blisser in there, who this weekend I thought was very soft on the puck, and that's where I'm getting at. If you have too many guys that aren't playing with enough jam, well, then your lineup changes. Then you're relying on Ray Bryce and those guys to log a ton of ice time when really a lot of it, and they don't get power play time. And our power play goes 0 for 12 on the weekend because we need more execution out of some of our top end guys. So they have the skill. They have to have the want as well, like everybody else.
Next question, Coach, is a goaltending question. It says, after the losses last weekend, since Badun has stopped every shot he's seen in a game, will we see him start this weekend?
Isn't that great? Isn't it? You always get the goaltending questions, and you know somebody wants you to stay with them. You know, and I just look at this. I don't do the blogs and stuff. Mm-hmm. I do Twitter because you see commitments. That's where you see where guys are committed, especially guys you're recruiting and things like that, and watching. But you know, another guy, like you talk to Gary Krusich. If a guy wins, play him. He should play. If a guy wins, then you get a question in here is, how is a guy ever going to develop if you don't just go with him and give him a chance? Well, which guy do you give the chance to? Right. You know, like, you know, you gotta take it and you gotta go with it. Robbie Badun has played tremendous. Robbie Badun deserves a chance to get in the net. He stopped every shot this year. He's gone in twice. He won us a big game at Ferris, gave us stability in there. He absolutely deserves a chance. I was very honest with our goaltenders going in up to 3 weeks ago that my intent was to play Devin Carroll a game at Clarkson. I thought he played well against Duluth the first night, especially. And then he got, you know, they had a lot of rubber thrown at him the second night. What Devin needs to do is the poor thing for Devin is he just needs to win games. You know what I mean? Like he plays well, but he just needs to win games. Robbie Badun gets in there, and the one thing you got to look at with Robbie, out of the minimal starts last year, he had two shutouts. I mean, he had two shutouts. Like that's, he shut out Lake State and he shut out Bowling Green at Bowling Green. Not easy tasks to do. The other thing though is when he gets in there and he's had tough games, they've been tough games, like fighting the puck, tough games. So, maturity, maybe he's the guy, maybe he's not, maybe Drusick is the guy. But it's interesting these questions on make a change, and then, you know, someone else says, how is a guy gonna, you know, we're just trying to pick the guy that gives us the best chance of having success and giving us a chance to win, and the goaltenders have to work around that.
More questions coming your way on the Joe Schaan Hour right after these on Mix 93.
When you need to find a bar at a price that's right, that red and blue sign is just within sight. Roll in to Carquest and roll on.
Purchase one 12-ounce can of WD-40 with Smart Straw and buy your second can for 50% off at Harder's CarQuest in Calumet through November 28th.
When you want some help from a fellow car lover, it's all in one place, as you'll discover. Roll in to CarQuest and roll on.
Hi, this is Julie from the Reliance Agency. Much like the weather, your life could change at the drop of a hat. Don't be caught unprepared. You don't know what will happen tomorrow, but no matter what happens, you can make sure your loved ones are provided for with a life insurance policy from Auto Owners Insurance. Meet with a local independent agent and secure a policy now to rest easy knowing you're protecting the ones you love. Visit the Reliance Agency in downtown Launce today or call us at 906-524-6330.
Taco, Taco Man. You know I got to be a Taco Man. I said Taco, Taco Man, yeah.
You can be a Taco Man at Joey's Seafood and Grill in downtown Houghton with their fish taco starting at $2.99. And in minutes, you can be a Taco, Taco Man too at Joey's Seafood and Grill, where it's easy to be a Taco Man.
Got the fender bender blues, people stop and stare. You need advanced tech body repair. Your car's looking new, it's a beautiful sight. Advanced tech gets the job done right. Clean, friendly service without delay. Without delay. Don't drive that wreck for one more day. Beat the fender bender blues. Advanced tech body repair. Advanced tech.
things go hand in hand in the Copper Country in November. That's the hunting season and Bucko's Party Store in Calumet. All 15 and 18 packs of beer are on sale. All 2 liters are $2 for $3. All 7-Up 20-ounce products are only 99 cents. Stay hydrated at the camp with Powerade and Gatorade deals. Bucko's has hunting licenses, bait deals, and Keweenaw alpaca gear. Football, Sundays, deer season, Thanksgiving, many reasons to get your party started at Bucko's in Calumet. All sales do not include tax and deposit.
Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour, man. We are running out of time. We still have another break coming up here, too. But let's get to a couple more questions for you, Coach. You have seen many rinks in college hockey and all of the things that make them unique and difficult to play in as a visiting team. What do you think makes the McGinnis Ice Arena hard to play in for visiting teams?
Well, the people are right on top of you. I would never, ever in my lifetime want to see any new rink be built here, because by code you could never build it like this is, with the vertical seating the way it is, so the people have the vantage point of being right on top of you. So it shrinks everything in. The environment is, and the people are right on top of you. They're loud. You can hear them behind you. Everything is outstanding. Another advantage that we have, and it's the same at Lake Superior, they have the same advantage, is that the benches are on the opposite sides of the rink.
And Clarkson, too.
And Northern Michigan as well. The benches are on the opposite side, so Clarkson had the advantage this weekend with it. When an opposition player comes out of the box, it's hard for, he has to make a decision, you know, and the coach has to, is he getting into the play, depending on where it is, or is he going all the way across the ice again, the bench? Our guy, regardless of anything, can come right out of the bench, go right in that, or out of the penalty box, go right in that first door, and we can get another guy in. So regardless, we can get the guy, the type of player. If it's a defenseman coming off and we have another defenseman out there, or two defensemen already out there, he can come right in the door and we can send the other guy out right away. So that's an advantage. There's certain rinks that have glass that have bad bounces to them. There's certain rinks that have Zamboni doors and boards that have bad bounces to them. So, and when they're in your league, you know those. When they're not in your league, you don't know until you get in there and you see something happen.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about the injuries. We have not talked about injuries other than, you know, guy is out. But they are mounting a little bit right now. We've got guys like Jake Jackson, Goats,
Meek,
and Gavin Gould did not play on Saturday night, too. And those are all guys that were playing if they were available.
Mm-hmm.
Along with the 8-game road stretch, did that, I know you won't come up with excuses, but is that factored in
No, I mean, I think Jake Jackson would have been the most impactful, because I think his speed against some of those big D, I mean, Jake is powerful and explosive. I think that his speed would have turned some of those D. As you saw, the speed that Misiak and Bryce brought up the ice at the two defensemen, backed them off, allowed them a cross pattern, got us a goal. I think Jake Jackson's speed, like he does with everybody, Notre Dame last year, Mankato last year, backs defensemen off, and then he has a good ability to decide whether he wants to bring that puck into the inside and critical ice for a shot, or if they try to hold a tight gap or get some, you know, within a comfortable range, he'll just blow by him and go in. So I think he would have been impactful. Maybe Goats on the power play would have been impactful. But I think those are probably the biggest deals. But I like the group we had in on Saturday night. I thought our compete was good. I thought our defensive core played an excellent game. Goatsy's, you know, he played the first 3 games. He's still got to show that he's up to snuff now with the growth of the other players. You know, we went through a lot in the last, you know, month that he's been out, and that D-core has grown. So there's a good challenge for him to have to come in and compete and reestablish himself. So
is he close? Is he ready?
I think he is ready. I don't know if he's ready, but I think he's close. He skated a bit last week to get his legs back. He is a good stick, and he's a right-hand shot, which helps balance a lot of things out. We wouldn't have had the situation late that we had this weekend. We talked about Saturday night with the goaltender out, had Goats been in the lineup.
Right.
He wasn't in the lineup, and that's what really, because Colin Sawyer came off the ice, you know, chose to come off the ice, and now we're pickled because we only have one right-hand D. He's the guy we would want to stay on the ice. So we have a lefty-righty with the goaltender out, so we have that ability to expand the ice in the offensive zone and work our plays going towards the net. So with Gauthier out there, he would have been the guy that would have jumped right out for him.
The Alaska Nanooks are our opponent this weekend, Coach. We are finally back home. It is Copper Country Strong Night on Friday. It'll be an emotional night for everybody. The Huskies will be wearing special uniforms with Thatcher's name on the back. You can see the video on the Michigan Tech website that Cal did a wonderful job on, if you want to check that out. But it's a special night coming up on Friday night.
Yeah, it'll be emotional. I mean, you're looking. I was watching News Channel on over the weekend, just watching the devastation from the fires in California, you know, all the carnage that's gone on there, and having gone through, having never gone through anything like that before in my lifetime, you get numb to it, all the stuff you see on television when, you know, the floods, the hurricanes, the damage it's done and different things. When you go through it one time, then everything becomes real again. Like, I'm watching that and I'm actually, it's emotional, it's riveting, it's, you know, you pray for the thing, stuff going on in California right now. It's absolutely awful going in and out of homes because for unaccounted people trying to find any, you know, it's, and we went through that. Our community went through that and none more than the Markham family, obviously. So it's going to be extremely emotional. It's going to probably bring some things back to life. Maybe it's a small way for us to put remembrance but how the community came together is what makes this place so special. How, you know, everybody by the thousands showing up at different locations and helping people out was absolutely incredible.
The Copper Country Strong Game is Friday night when the Huskies will wear special Thatcher Markham jerseys that will be auctioned off, with all proceeds going to the Portage Health Foundation's Flood and Love Initiative. So it's a great cause. We want to make sure everybody gets to these games this weekend, but especially be there on Friday night and make sure you open up the wallet and make an auction bid on some of these jerseys.
Yeah, and you know, and I want to, there's so many people involved. Obviously, Suzanne's involved in it, Suzanne Sandregret, Joel Isaacson, and Gary Kruzich. This, you know, a talk we have today, Kruzich, so he's got so much passion. I said, I want you, come down and be around our team. Like, be around, like, he's so black and white and so matter of fact on it, and just with the accountability factor. And I, you know, today I had to remind him a little bit. I said, okay, Kruzich, listen, how many games did you, like, did you play from your freshman year on? Well, yeah, I did. And he's got, you know, do this. And he's right on everything he's saying. It's so matter of fact. I says, and where did you graduate, Kruzich, all time on the NCAA list, as far as wins? I was first. Yeah. So you were the winningest goaltender when you graduated from college of any goaltender ever played the game. And you beat Ken Dryden's record, who was is a Hall of Fame goaltender. I said, Kruzich, you're wired differently. Like, these guys aren't you. We have to walk a fine line mentally and psych. Like, you, it's easy for you. You could tell the coach, I'm not doing that today. And, you know, you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But
yeah,
his passion, like, in getting behind something like this, he just lives this stuff. He lives this community. He's, I mean, and Joel Isaacson, Suzanne, and there's so many more involved. I don't know everybody that's involved, but these additions, Suzanne's done a great job of hiring people around here that share that passion, that do this, you know, the Copper Country Strong type of thing, that live it every single day. Tragedy, non-tragedy, just in the emotion they bring.
All right, we'll take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Think about your home. What do you see? Do you just see two stories or the stories of your toddler's first steps? Now think about your car. Do you see an odometer reading or your kids reading in the back seat? Other insurance companies just see a house. They just see a car. But a State Farm agent sees what your home and your car really mean to you. So why not give them the protection they deserve?
Call me, Kelly Jepson, at my State Farm agency in Houghton at 482-1210.
Here comes my brother and his girlfriend. Oh, shoot, what's her name? Cheryl or Carol, I can't remember. What a crying shame. Quick, she's coming. Think of something, an ice cold Coke I snag. Whoa, it's wrapped just like a gift. It's even got a gift tag. Now we're chitting and we're chatting. I see my dad walk by. I pull him and say, look who's here. He says, Cheryl, it's been a while.
Introducing the limited edition Coca-Cola gift bottle.
The holidays are here, and Coca-Cola is the one thing you can trust everyone will like. And with the limited edition gift wrap label, every bottle is personalized with a gift tag for your special someone. Whether it's for your bestie, your hero, your better half, or even mom and dad, Coca-Cola is one less gift to wrap. Grab an ice cold Coke or Coke Zero Sugar for everyone on your list while supplies last. The Coca-Cola gift bottle. A gift for one, a gift for all.
The Kaleva Cafe, Quincy Street in Hancock, has been serving great food for generations, 7 days a week, with homestyle service and huge portions. They have a tasty menu for everyone, with all homemade food, including pasties, soups, hot and cold sandwiches, Italian cuisine, pizza, breakfast served all day, and the best coffee around. Enjoy a Sunday turkey dinner with all the fixings for only $9.95, as well as daily lunch and dinner specials. Hours at the Kaleva Cafe, 7 till 9, Monday through Saturday, and Sundays, 8 till 9.
In sports, movement is a force to be reckoned with. Your feet fuel that force. At Northern Foot Care Center, Dr. Remingen knows how to treat athletes, getting them back in action sooner. When your feet feel good, performance increases. Games are won and records are crushed. You want answers? We have them. Technology cutting edge. Experience over 28 years. Results game changing. Pro sports teams have the best foot and ankle experts. Now you have one. Call 482-9950 or click northernfootcare.com.
Joe Schonauer continues here on Mix 93 WKMJ. And the Huskies taking on Alaska this week. And again, 7:07, both Friday and Saturday night. 6:30 pregame here on Mix 93. Tickets are available. And you guys get to practice a little earlier this week, right, Coach?
Yeah, we're going on earlier. 10 o'clock is our ice time this week. So today's going to be an optional day. We've had a lot of travel, a lot of things. We're going to hit the weight room hard today. And then guys that want to go out can go out. We'll take the guys that haven't traveled and things and get them some skill work and things like that. But then we'll get at it. And Alaska's good. They threw 40-something shots at Huntsville this weekend. They're doing that to everybody. They're playing good hockey. They went into Lake State and took a win and a regulation win and an overtime win against them. Came back from being down 3-0 and last weekend they got a split with Huntsville and they're a good hockey team. Their coach is doing an excellent job. They're buying into what's going on. It looks like that they're excited about the coaching change there and the players are playing hard.
Should be a great time, and I want to make sure everybody gets their tickets. Tickets available at buyhuskiestickets.com, or you can call 487-2073. The ticket office is open right now. Don't miss the Copper Country Strong game on Friday and Saturday's game, both games, 7:07. Can also be heard here, 6:30, pregame, right here on Mix 93 WKMJ. Coach, have a great rest of your week. Have a great week of practice. Happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody, all the Huskies out there, the band, the Misfits.
By the way, a bunch of great fans at the games this weekend too.
Always, and it's so many of the same people always at the games and our band as well. You know, we didn't talk about. Did we talk about last week at Ferris how our guys, our pep band, was out there playing
with them? Yeah,
yeah, playing with the Ferris State pep band. I mean, they do this everywhere. It's not like there's no animosity. There, it's just absolutely unbelievable.
It is great. All right, we'll see you at the games on Friday night and Saturday night at the John McGinnis Student Ice Arena.